Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Amazing with Grace. I am eager to talk to you about today's topic since Valentine's Day is coming up. Many of you may not know this, but my board certification specialty is in couple and family psychology by the American Board of Professional Psychology. So anything dealing with love and relationships is right up my alley. Is anybody like me who is always surprised when you see Valentine's stuff in the stores the day after Christmas? And surely before the new year begins. It seems like we don't have time to recover before additional financial or emotional pressure is added. But nevertheless, giving and receiving love is one of the best experiences of a lifetime, and Valentine's Day is a popular holiday when that love is expressed. As I was preparing for this episode, I was looking for some statistics, and I found this website called groovycandies.com, and they say that the average spending for Valentine's Day is about $18 billion. The National Retail Federation, or the NRF, has been tracking these same statistics for the past 10 years, and they indicate that spending for Valentine's Day is over $20 billion, and they are projecting that it's going to rise this year. Groovy Candy said that the average person spends about $130, whereas the National Retail Federation say that the average spending for a person is about $160. So when you have purchased or received gifts, what do you think? Is that average for you, or is that on the low or high end? For me, I think it really depends on who I'm purchasing the gift for and maybe the quality of the relationship. So that amount can be average or it can be on the low or high end. But if you're like me, you might be curious about what people are buying, and you might be just as surprised as I was to see that candy and cards were still the most purchased gifts. I guess I assumed that with that much spending, that it would be jewelry or expensive dinners, even though dinner and flowers were the next most purchased on the list. One of the statistics that I really enjoyed from groovycandies.com was 53% of women said they would end their relationship if they didn't get anything. So that tells me that a lot of people find Valentine's Day or getting something for Valentine's Day to be a deal breaker. And I was trying to think about why that is, though. Like, is getting a gift for Valentine's Day people's personal preference, or do you think it's a comparison thing? You know, I was trying to think, like, if everybody celebrated Valentine's Day quietly and you didn't know what everybody received, would it still be a deal breaker? So is it about not feeling loved if I don't get a gift, or is it about the fact that I can't tell others how much you love me by what you got me? I don't know. Y'all let me know what you think. Send me a DM on IG at Dr. Q Perry, or go to amazingwithgrace.com and send me a message by clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab. But here's the part that I want to get to. According to the NRF, only 51% of people plan to celebrate Valentine's Day in 2019, which was down from 55% the previous year. How in the world do we explain that less people are celebrating Valentine's Day, but the amount of spending continues to rise? I think there are a lot of different ways to answer this question, but in general, I think we have to really look at how things are defined. How are people defining love? How are people viewing Valentine's Day? Is Valentine's Day just for Eros love, that romantic or sexual love? Or is it for an expression of love for any kind, like the agape godly love or philia friendly type of love? I was asking myself how I see it. When I think back to elementary school, I think it was perceived as more friendly. So remember how we had the class Valentine's parties and everybody exchanged cards? But as I transitioned to middle and high school and into adulthood, I believe my own view of Valentine's Day changed to a more romantic type of expression. So getting and giving candy and flowers and teddy bears and Remember those heart-shaped cookies? I always thought those were so cute, even though I'm not a cookie person. Now, as I've gotten older, I see Valentine's Day as an expression of love in any way that you choose. You learn that there's more than just romantic love. You can celebrate with your romantic partner, but you can also show appreciation to your kids, your family, and your friends. Another cool idea that I always enjoy seeing is when people show appreciation to their staff and other leaders or service providers with Valentine's messages like, "We love the work you do," or "Your work is so sweet." So as a culture, it seems like our definitions of love have expanded beyond the three that I mentioned earlier to include things like philosophy. So that's a self-love. This is not narcissism, but a healthy view of self and an ability to appreciate and provide affection and compassion for yourself. There is also a storge love, or some people say storge love, and this is based on familiarity and dependence. I look at these relationships like parent-child relationships, pet and pet owner relationships, caregiver and caretaker. Those are some people that you might also think about for Valentine's Day. There is also a ludus love, and this is a playful and flirting expression of affection. So I think of these situations where you're not exactly in a relationship, but the relationship that you do have is flirty, it's fun, it's a lot of laughing, it's a lot of playing. And so these are some people that maybe sometimes also celebrate Valentine's Day. And then there's a very special pragma love. This is an enduring love that makes compromises for the greater good of the relationship. A lot of people associate this type of love with older couples who are not necessarily romantically in love, but they make a commitment to stand in love after they fall out of love. It's such a sweet, sweet, sweet type of love. And I know that I have been privileged to know some couples personally and to have worked with some couples professionally who demonstrate this kind of love. But going back to the National Retail Federation's research, it shows that these were the different types of love that were found in their study for the people who decided they didn't want to, quote, celebrate Valentine's Day in the traditional sense. A lot of these people still had plans to do things like buy anti-Valentine's Day gifts, planning a get-together with friends, or treating themselves to something special. And this was mostly true for people who were under the age of 35. Despite all the statistics and new ways that people are thinking of Valentine's Day, it still seems like most people think of Valentine's Day as a day of romantic expression of love. In the NRF's research, their study indicated that although 25% of people plan to give a gift, 40% of people would love to receive one. So I think people are still equating Valentine's Day with romantic relationships. And this holiday can be stressful when you're single or when you're in a relationship that is not going so well. If this is the case for you, it may be hard to cope with the day that seems full of love and passion and affection for others, but can trigger emotions for you like sadness, loneliness, grief, and or jealousy. This was one of my most popular blog topics, even when it was not Valentine's Day season. So I thought I would turn that blog into an episode to help you cope with Valentine's blues. I'll be covering some helpful ideas for consideration for both singles and couples. Let's start with couples. You know, relationships are seasonal and they go in different phases. And, you know, the honeymoon phase, the research indicates that it doesn't last longer than about a year, no more than 18 months before things start to settle in. But even if you're not in the honeymoon phase, there are times when your relationship is just okay, or you might actually be trying to recover from something traumatic like infidelity or an illness or something like that. And you're trying to figure out how exactly do we want to celebrate Valentine's Day. Sometimes relationships are at the stage where you're both trying to figure out whether you even want to stay in the relationship. One of the tips that I have is to agree to take a holiday break so that neither of you feel obligated to celebrate Valentine's Day. But if you both decide that you do want to celebrate Valentine's Day, try not to compare the day with other celebrations that you've shared. What I mean by this is, A lot of times when couples are in situations or in a season where the relationship is not at its best, it's hard for them to find things that they enjoy because what they're doing is they are comparing it to when we first met. They're comparing it to times when they have celebrated and it has been so fun. Well, those same emotions are not there in this season. It's not fair for you to take away from the current moment by comparing now to, say, maybe last year's Valentine's Day when we were completely in love. Along the same lines, you want to avoid comparing your relationship with other couples. For instance, if both of you decide you want to celebrate Valentine's Day with a wonderful dinner for two at home, it does not mean you love one another less or that your relationship is doomed if your best friend and his wife decide they want to celebrate with a romantic three-day staycation. It would be unfair for you to compare this rough patch of your relationship to a couple who is in a more joyful season in their relationship. Another helpful tip is to make a list of a few realistic ways that you can improve your relationship that is not contingent on your partner's behavior. Here's what I mean. When I think about my values, one of the things that I think about is being present, being fully engaged, being attentive. Something that I can do that aligns with that value is I'm going to dedicate at least 30 minutes a day to talk to my boyfriend or my partner without the distraction of TV, without the distraction of texting or social media. Now, if you're in a rough patch, it might be hard to do this exercise because I imagine the first thing you might think about is, well, he doesn't do that for me, so why would I do that for him? Well, values-based living, especially in a rough patch, is really important because what happens is you are being the best person that you can be, and it is not contingent upon someone else's behavior. And of course, as always, one of my suggestions for couples is if you are in a rough patch in this season, especially, always consider couples therapy with a trained professional or find a reputable couple who can mentor you all. Now, switching gears for my singles, did y'all know that there was a Singles Awareness Day? I just found this out on, celebrated on February 15th, and it was developed for people who were single who wanted to get away from the over-commercialized Valentine's Day celebration. And there's also the Galentine's Day where women get together who are single and you get together and do fun things. But what if you don't want to do any of that? And what if you feel sad and lonely or depressed because you are in a single season and you want to have someone special to share that romantic love with? Here are some helpful pointers for you. Be compassionate with yourself. You know, I think for many Christian singles, a lot of people try to over-spiritualize it and make you feel ashamed of the thoughts and feelings of wanting to have a mate. You know, a lot of people might say things like, oh, you need to just focus on God, or, you know, if you really love God, then Jesus is all that you need. And, you know, you wouldn't be focused on finding a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a spouse if your relationship with God was where it needed to be. And in some ways, I get it. And in some situations, that may be true. But there's also nothing wrong with having a desire, a true desire to have someone. I would say for that, be compassionate with yourself. You want to make sure that you acknowledge your emotions and try not to have judgments about those emotions that you have, especially during this season of being single for Valentine's Day. But with that being said, even though it's okay to acknowledge your loneliness or sadness or whatever emotion that comes up for you, do not let those emotions control you. Don't let them lead you to make unhealthy decisions. Many, many times I see people return to unhealthy relationships, or they impulsively dive into new relationships, or they reach out and start engaging in meaningless and unsafe sex, or they start overeating or not eating, trying to look a certain way, or they start drinking or abusing street drugs or prescription medication, excessive shopping, you name it. People do a lot of things to try to manage the stress that comes up in this season where everybody else seems to be in love and you feel lonely and left out and forgotten. One of the biggest things that I have learned is to remember that although it may be to other people, being in a relationship is not a prize and it's not an upgrade in status or significance in God's eyes. That is a true, true nugget of wisdom that I want you to take away from this podcast episode for singles, that being in a relationship is not a prize or it's not an upgrade in your importance, even though it may be for society. Another really helpful pointer that I have for singles during this season is to know your triggers. You know, if certain music or old photos, or you know how Facebook has those remember wins or those anniversaries that pop up, some of those things can trigger you because you start to look back on old memories and pictures and certain movies and certain places, and they start to make you think about a time when maybe you did have a relationship or when your relationship was a lot better than where it is now. Or you start to look at other people's old photos and things like that, and it can really bring about some really uncomfortable emotions. So if you know your triggers, even though some things are not avoidable, do your best to evade or minimize your exposure to things that will worsen your mood. And just like I said with my couples, for my singles, you want to avoid comparisons. You might be in a different phase in your singlehood. So just like relationships have phases, all relationships are not in the same phase or state. Singlehood or singleness also has different phases. It would be unfair for you to compare maybe your single life, maybe your 1 month post breakup, to somebody else who has been happily single for 3 years. It can be a catch-22 for singles because many times singles are comparing themselves to their friends or other people who are in these wonderful relationships, and that makes them feel sad. And then sometimes they're also comparing themselves to other people who may have the gift of singleness, who they are content in their single state, or who have been called to a lifestyle or a season of singleness, and they have, you know, it might be years in where they have worked through some of the emotions that you are struggling with now. So be very careful about comparing yourself to other couples and also to other singles. These are some emotions that I think can be helpful to talk out with your friend circle. And as always, this is something that is very good to process with a therapist or a trained professional. If you're already in therapy, this is a great topic to discuss with your therapist. Now it's time for us to sit on Dr. Q's couch and answer some questions about Valentine's blues. If you have questions, you can always send me a DM at Dr. Q Perry, or you can contact me through the website at amazingwithgrace.com. One person asks, what if I'm in a relationship and I'm not happy? Do I break up before or after Valentine's Day? Let me just give this disclaimer. What I'm about to say is not for married couples because separation and divorce is beyond the purpose of this particular episode. So I hope that the person who submitted this question is not married. But with that being said, let me thank you for asking this question because a lot of people find themselves in this situation. As with any other decision, I say pray about it and follow the path of peace and wisdom. When we're dating, we have to remember that everything is not just about your happiness. We have to also consider the other person and make decisions in a way that does not leave them damaged in the process. If God shows you that that is not the best relationship for you, remember that person you're dating may one day be someone's spouse. So don't be careless and prayerless in your decision making. You might ask yourself some questions like, would breaking up now be better? Would spending Valentine's Day together be misleading to the person if I already know my heart's not in it? It's also important to ask yourself, why am I unhappy? Is it the relationship? Is it me? Or is it both? Whatever you decide to do, do it with grace and truth. Even if it hurts you or the other person, there's still a level of dignity and respect that's there because of how you handle the decision. I think in this question, it's not a matter of do I break up before or after Valentine's Day. I think it's a little bit deeper than that. It is, how do I communicate my decision? And whatever that decision is, it's more about how you handle or communicate what your final decision is. Now, let me throw this on the couch for us today. For those who are in situationships and not sure what to expect for Valentine's Day. You know, situationships are very complex, they're very complicated, and there is a wide variety of situationship compilations. So I know that limits specifically how I can answer the question of what do I expect for Valentine's Day if I'm in a situationship. But let me ask you this. Where has this situation been and where is it going? First of all, why is it a situationship in the first place? Is this an ex who still has open door access to you? Is this person married or are they involved with someone else? Has this person told you that they don't want a relationship and you're trying your best to be patient and convince them otherwise? I think it's really important for you to examine the situation for what it is. Take some time during this season and reflect on what God wants for you and what you deserve. Notice I didn't say reflect on what you really want, because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that our hearts are deceitful, which means that sometimes we can want something that is not good for us. When I think about taking some time away from a situation to really reflect on what it is, as hard as it is, it means I am moving my emotions out of the way. Something to think about during this season of reflection on the situationship is whether I have allowed God to transform my mind and my plans to His desires and planting those in my heart. You might also ask yourself, if this is the case for you in your situationship, do I really want to be kept a secret? Do I want to pretend that I'm okay with celebrating Valentine's Day early or late or not at all just to keep this person around? And most importantly, what impact is this situationship having on my overall mood and functioning outside of Valentine's Day? My experience with situationships personally and professionally is that they are too emotionally draining and they occupy too much of your time. Spend this season reflecting on what you're not getting done for God, what relationships you're not embracing, what in your career or academics you're not getting done, or what you're not getting done in a spirit of excellence. The bottom line is this: I don't think you can expect anything from this person for Valentine's Day, but rather inspect your self-image and your relationship with God. And on that note, let's move into our prayer time. Dear God, thank you for being the epitome of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Help us to know that no matter what season we find ourselves in for Valentine's Day, your love transcends all. Help us to have the emotional and spiritual discipline to make sound decisions as it relates to our love life, so that other areas of our lives are not negatively impacted and render us ineffective for the kingdom. May we endure this holiday with the knowledge that every day is a day we have to receive your love and give it to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever your season in love, allow it to develop or heal naturally without doing anything to rush or prolong it. That's all that we have for today. Don't forget to share, subscribe, and follow me on IG at Dr. Q Perry. Take care.